up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Wednesday, Wisdom Wednesday, October the 12th, 2016. And Ticket the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. Man, woo, made it. I didn't think I was going to make it. Boy, that weather was crazy. But look here, y'all. We got a great show for you today. Today's topic of conversation is going to be good, right? Five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. Ooh, my goodness. Five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. That's going to be good. Can't wait for that one, y'all. Can't wait for that one. That's going to be good. That's going to be good. Anyway, as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio by myself. In the studio, as always. And look here, y'all. I'm excited. So look, let me give you the rundown real quick on how you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are listening, you've already dialed in, y'all sitting there with y'all phones in hand. Hopefully y'all ain't got one of them Samsung phones. We're going to talk about that too. But if you're sitting there with your phone in your hand, might want to put that down. But if you're sitting there with your phone in your hand, just push one. You've already dialed in. Push one and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are on listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546, and you can be a part of today's show. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. Again, that's the ampersand, at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show. We love to read. we'd love to read your tweet live over the air. If you want to email the show, real easy to do. You can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read your email on the show. You can watch the live stream. The live stream of the show should be up and running very shortly. But you can catch us, first of all, on Ustream, ustream.tv. Again, that's ustream.tv. You can find us right there. That's now up and running. Facebook Live, man, real easy to do. Facebook Live is now up and running. You can find us right there on Facebook Live. Real simple, real easy to do. Simply go to our Facebook page, the same one I sent you to before. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you will find us right there. And man, and hopefully you'll be blessed. Amen. Again, ustream.tv, ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Divine, and you will find us right there as well. And last but not least, iTunes. Follow us on iTunes. Download the podcast on iTunes. Real easy to do. Simply go to your iTunes account. Go to the section for podcasts. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us right there as well. That's it. We good. Facebook Live, up and running. Everything is up and running. We're good to go. Man, look, so much has happened. Look, real quick, we must say congratulations, I guess, first. Let me say this first. To the Chicago Cubs. What's up? Shot Town, stand up. The Chicago Cubs, man, made it to the next round. We're going to the NLCS, the National League Championship Series, for my slow people. But that's what we're going on to next, waiting on the winner of the Dodgers and the Washington Nationals. That's what we're waiting on next. But this is good. But let me do me a favor, y'all. Do me a favor. When you come into the chat room, when you come into the chat room on Facebook Live, when you come into the chat room on Facebook Live, please do me a favor. Hit the share button. Hit the share button. If you're watching on your computer, hit the share button. If you're watching on your Droid device, simply swipe. I believe it is swipe up. Yeah, swipe up, and you will get be able to share. Hit the share button and share that with your followers. If you're on an iPhone, left. And you'll be able to share that with your followers as well and your friends. Please do that. I would really appreciate it. I really would. But do that for a brother. Help a brother out. Appreciate y'all. When you come into the room now, When you come into the room, y'all need to learn. Speak to the people. Speak to the people. See, it's a bunch of y'all in the room right now, and y'all ain't even spoke. See that? Come on. Come on, Christians. Act like you love one another up in here. Look, y'all lucky we ain't in church, because I'd be like, go hug your neighbor, like I told them on Sunday. Go hug somebody you ain't never hugged before. That's what I told them last Sunday. Hug somebody you ain't never hugged before. Boy, you should have saw the looks on some of the faces, like, for real. Like, yes. Yes, and I might do it again. Right. Go hug somebody you ain't never hugged before. So that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do in the church house. So when you come into the room, even if you're coming into the chat room, whether it's on Facebook Live or whatever, say hello to the other people and speak to me. Let me know who you are. You know, speak, Lord, speak to me. Come on, say something. How you doing? Evangelist Tony, the first one. Even though she wasn't the first one in the room, she was the first one to speak. But I ain't mad. How you doing, sister? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. And welcome as always. Thank you. All right. Let's see here. W.C. Rice. Now, I don't know if that's really him or not, because, you know, everybody be on his account. But God bless whoever that is watching on the on that account. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for watching. Thank you. Thank you. Come on in. Come on. That's right. Press on in. Come on. There's room. Come on. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, big shout out to the Chicago Cubs. Let me tell y'all something real quick, and I'm going to move on off this baseball thing. I know some of y'all don't really care about baseball, but you should if, you know, you're Chicago. And I've gave y'all the warning over and over again. You know there's always been a correlation between the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series and the world coming to an end. Now, I ain't trying to scare nobody. I'm not speaking in the prophetic. I might be speaking in the pathetic. However, that's an inside joke, speaking in the pathetic. But anyway, I might be speaking. I just want to put this out here. The closer the Cubs get to the World Series, y'all need to be getting right with God. That's all I'm going to say. The closer they get to the World Series, you need to be getting right with the Lord. Because I'm just saying, you know, it might get down to the ninth inning of the World Series game and they win. And when dude foot step on the plate and the game is over, Gabriel's trumpet might start sounding right then. So you might want to make sure you got your house in order. I'm just saying, I don't want nobody to be scared. I'm just trying to tell y'all, if the, you know, that I don't want to see nobody upset. I don't want to see none of that stuff happen. So I'm just hoping that all happens. I know we just had an issue with the people. Hey, congratulations. And we pushing for them to go all the way, man. I'm excited. I'm excited about that. I really am. All right. So let's move on. So the Chicago teachers got themselves a contract. The Chicago teachers got themselves get right, church, and let's go home. You right. Hey, Kim Tony, guess what? It's somebody else in the chat room. They actually sung that song in the play. Get right, church, and let's go home. Come on. Don't make me get started. But look. Seriously, the Chicago teachers got themselves a contract, and the strike was averted. All of the babies went back to school on Tuesday, even though everybody had to stay up until almost 1 o'clock in the morning to find out. But the strike was averted, and they got a 4-year contract, which technically is prorated because it goes back to a year and a half ago. So really, it's only a 3-year contract. Because it goes all the way back to the time when they didn't have a contract. But anyway, they got themselves a contract, and they got most of the things that they were asking for. Now, here is, and that's great. That's great. The current teachers who are already teachers, they will continue to get their 7% of the four, of their version of the 401k, of their pension, paid into their pension, which is great. That's good for them. You know, kudos for them. New teachers, however, have to pay 9.5%, I believe it is, 9.5% for anybody who's hired after December 31st of this year, right? Okay, so that's great. Now, the money is going to come from the TIF fund. I forget what TIF stands for. Somebody help me out. What does that TIF thing stand for? Because I forgot. It's too many acronyms. What is it? The TIF fund. Tax increment financing. Okay, yeah. The tax increment financing fund. That's what it is. The tax increment financing fund. So that's really money that's set aside for projects and things like that. That's really what that money is set aside for. And that's what that money is set aside for. Now, here is the deal. A temporary stopgap. Now we talked about the good things. Now let's talk about the reality. This is only a temporary stopgap. So they're going to get somewhere around out of the TIP funds is $200 million that they needed to fund teachers and schools for the next 3 years or so, right? So they're going to get that. Hey, y'all, come on in the room. Hey, what's going on? Hello. I see you. Hello, Yolanda King. How are you? So it's one of those things where we have the funding for the next few years. But then where is the additional funds going to come from? So we still need to have a place or some sort of revenue stream that strictly funds Chicago Public Schools, because you're not going to be able to go back to the same TIF funds 3 or 4 years from now and say, hey, we need another $200 million. Because see, what you're doing is if you take it from a simple financial standpoint, if you got a savings account with no job, and now all of a sudden to run said business that doesn't have any real income coming in, to run that said business, you have to now go into your savings account to run the business. There is no new money going into the business. So now you're taking money from a quote-unquote savings account to run the business. So next year, you've already taken out $200 million. 4 years from now, if you don't have a new income stream, or sorry, revenue stream for CPS schools, if you don't have a new revenue stream, then now you're going to say what? We need to go back to the savings account? Because at some point, the savings account is going to be depleted. So now this is where we need to turn around and go to our state, because I don't mean no harm, but can we tell the truth? Can we tell the truth? That lottery money, you know, all that, those funds that go into the Illinois State Lottery, and then, you know, on the back of the ticket, it's supposed to fund the educational processes of the state of Illinois. It seems like everybody else is getting the money except Chicago Public Schools. It seems like every other school district in Illinois except Chicago Public Schools is getting lottery money. So here again is where I need y'all to go out. This is why voting is so important. That dude y'all let get in office, and I say y'all because I'm talking to y'all who didn't go vote and y'all cousins who didn't. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all cousins who didn't go vote, don't vote. Y'all know. You know, your Uncle Nim and your boo, your baby mama, whoever, none of them went to go vote, which is how Rauner got in office. So long as Rauner's in office, he has no intention on putting money into the Chicago public school system. He's going to hold up that whole process. So 3 or 4 years from now, we're going to be right back here again, because unless we come up with some new revenue stream, and you can't keep raising, can I be real with you? You can't keep raising tax dollars on folks in the city, property owners, business owners, to pay for this. And at the same time, you raising tax dollars to pay for this, can we be real? The schools aren't. That's my one issue that I guess is going to be measured between now and the next year or so. because I've always said this. One of the things that Karen Lewis, y'all, you know, good old Karen Lewis, Chicago Teachers Union person, she keeps saying this is going to be better for our teachers, better for the community, and better for the students. So I want to know how now you got your money. You got your money. You got pretty much 85% of what you asked for. Okay? I mean, we're still waiting for some of the details to come out, but you got a lot of what you asked for, which is great. That's good negotiating on your part. That's awesome. But now I want to see how the schools are now going to be better because you got your money. That's what I want to see. I want to see how now all of a sudden Chicago public schools are now going to be better. Somebody help me with that part of it because I really want to see the turnaround now. I want to see the turnaround in that process, how they're now going to be better. Because I don't expect it to happen today. But by the time the school year rolls around in June, there should be some measurable results. Come on now, measurable. There should be some sort of incremental but measurable results that the school system has turned around. Because you got your money. So now all the onus is now back on you. So we want to see now if this is actually going to happen. Fund CPS by taxing medicinal marijuana. Just a thought. You're right. You're absolutely right. I wholeheartedly agree. I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, you could. You could. You could have schools funded. Now, I believe, and I know it's a controversial thought because that's part of the reason why people don't like charter schools. But I believe one way you do two things. This is just my idea. And, regardless of what some people might say, I do not believe I know everything. However, one thing I do know is marketing. I'm very good at marketing. It's a natural thing for me. I have a degree that says I'm good at it, but it's just a natural thing for me. One of the things I know is that businesses like write-offs. Businesses love a way to be able to write off some taxes and love to get some tax breaks in certain areas. I also know that if you take some major companies in the city of Chicago and give them tax breaks. So let's say, if we do simple math, and I enjoy simple math. I enjoy simple math. Let's do simple math, and then I'm going to move on. I think they're talking about spending $40,000. They wanted to raise to spend $40,000 per student. Okay, I'm just keeping the math simple. I could be off by a couple thousand. I'm just doing this for math purposes. $40,000 per student. And let's just say you got 500 students in a school, right? So you got 500 students in a school, and you talk about spending $40,000 per student. Okay, so now you are now you got what? So now you're talking about $20 million to run a school. Yeah. So you're talking $20 million. If is that math right? Yeah. So you're talking about $500, per. If you're talking about 500, yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah. I'm looking. I know I ain't slow. I'm slow. I play slow, but I ain't that slow. So if you're talking about $40,000 per student, and 500 kids, that's $20 million. Okay, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, but that pays for the school, that pays for teacher salaries, that pays for all of that stuff, right? Okay, so now you go get some businesses, some of these billionaire companies like Boeing in Chicago, PepsiCo is here in Chicago, the Ford car plant is they're in the city, or in the city limits at least. You get Chase, Big Bank, Citibank, all these places, these big, huge companies are here, all these places. Who are local, and say, hey, you invest in some schools. You invest in about each of you all put some money into these schools. What we will in turn do is give you tax breaks while you're doing it. So now you get some additional funding coming from outside. You get some additional funding from the outside. What's up, Pat Hicks? Now you get some additional funding coming from the outside. So now you're funding schools. So now, yes, they're still Chicago public schools, but now they're getting funding from outside entities. You get companies like Microsoft to invest in 10 to 15 schools. They got billions of dollars, almost trillions. Microsoft is filthy rich, all these companies. You help, you get them, you give them tax breaks. And now here's two things that happens. Not only will those companies stay here because they're getting tax breaks, but now you're also creating jobs in the city at the same time. Now you're creating jobs. Now you're putting an incentive out. You say, hey, not only will we give you tax breaks, but if you come here and you invest in our Chicago public school system for X amount of years, now you're creating jobs and you're also creating better schools. That's just my idea. I know there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of minutiae in between, but that's just a thought. And I'm sure it's been tossed around before, but it makes schools look like charter schools, and people get upset about talking about taking away from the whole public school education deal. I understand that, but I'm just simply trying to tell you that's a real simple way of trying to get some things to be a little bit better, to be a little bit better. Hey, look, now I know I got a lot of people watching now via Facebook, y'all coming in and out, and some of y'all are coming in from my Minister King page. On Facebook, so you follow the Minister King page, but I don't really know who you are because it's like almost 3,000 people on that Minister King page, and some of y'all I don't know. Bless y'all for listening, but you know, speak to the people when you come in the room. Y'all have access to chat, right? So speak to the people when you come in the room. Say who you are. Say where you're listening from. Because some of y'all, y'all know I got a big following over in Jamaica. Bless the Lord, amen. That's about my brothers and sisters, amen. But anyway, say something to the people when you come in the room, okay? All right. So, yeah, so that's another big thing or big shout-out, rather, CPS, Chicago Teachers Union. Teachers, good job. Ain't no strike. We can chill for another year or two without any drama. Bless the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. So that's good stuff. That's good stuff. So, let's move forward. Let's move forward. Next thing. This is it, and I'm only going to give it a brief comment. The next thing is, hello, Ms. Galls. How you doing? How you doing? I see she's there. Yes, right. See, some folk know they just come in, they just speak. It's so wonderful. Pat came in. Folks just come on in and speak to the people. The next thing. So now, y'all boy, you know, Donald Trump, he's fighting with his own people again. He's talking about his own people. He's talking about the Republicans. Like he said, I don't care if they don't support me and we can get them all out of there. He called the Speaker of the House weak and simple-minded. Weak and simple-minded. That's what he called the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House, the person third in line to be President of the United States, he called him weak and simple-minded because he would not outright support him after all of the foolish stuff that he said out of his mouth. Wow. That's crazy. Let's see. What does it say? You could start redirecting money into the tax increment financing and direct it to the schools. Now, okay, let me go back to this and then I'm going to move on. That's a good comment. That's a good comment. Bosco, what's up, man? Kariski Roden. That's old school right there, y'all. I ain't gonna tell y'all about me and Bosco used to run back in the day, how we used to do. Wilcox in the house. Anyway, one of the things that the TIF money does do is it aids in projects in inner city neighborhoods. So for instance, some of that money is used if somebody wants to build a community center. Some of that money is used to fund those types of projects. Some of those money are used to fund different things. So you can't – I get your point about redirecting, but that money is there for a reason. It's there to help, you know, people, small businesses or people trying to do things like that. That's what that fund is for, you know. So, but, yeah, you could redirect it, but then now you're messing with the business side of – because people who want to bring business to Chicago, they need incentives. They need incentives to build businesses here. And the only way you can incentivize some people is by giving them tax breaks or giving them X amount of dollars if they want to start a business. So, but anyway, I'm going to move on. So, yeah, Donald Trump. Donald Trump, is he's talking about his own people. He's going deep in. He's talking about, and people are falling off left and right. Let me tell y'all something. I don't care what the polls say. Y'all still got to go vote. Y'all still got to go vote on election day. I don't care if they say Hillary is 25 points ahead. Y'all still got to go vote. Don't believe the hype. You still got to get up and go out there and vote. Because if you don't, you'll be asleep and y'all will wake up and crazy will be the president of the United States of America. And this show will be broadcasting live from Ocho Rios, Jamaica. Y'all already know my plan. I will be in Ocho Rios, Jamaica. I don't care if I got to sell fruit bags and bags of juice on the side of the road. I'd rather take my little change I got in the bank, my little change. I'd rather take my change and go over to Jamaica and chill on the beach and make an attempt to grow my dreads back. I know they ain't going to ever grow back, but I would let my dreads grow back, even though they probably start about right here. Y'all see what these headphones is? That's probably where my dreads would start at. But that's I'm going to grow them anyway because I don't care. Because I ain't going back. I can't be here if Donald Trump is president. I can tell y'all right now, that ain't going to happen. I'll see y'all later. Bye-bye. Can't happen. I'll be in Jamaica. Ain't no way. Yes, sir. I saw some nice property over there, and it's not really expensive. I can live right off the beach in Jamaica. Sure would. Yeah, cash in every 401k. Goodbye. I'm serious. So anyway, let's move on. So it's so much other stuff going on. Man, look here. Big man. So I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a young man a week or so ago, last name Griffin, who they found his body burning in the garbage can over on the west side of Chicago. And now they have raised the reward for the capture or information on the perpetrators to $7,500. There was a meeting yesterday with this organization called the Leaders Network. You've heard me talk about the Leaders Network before. It's with Pastor Ira Acree, Pastor Marshall Hatch, a couple of other guys, you know, West Side guys are a part of this group. But a private donor donated additional funding for a reward for the capture of whoever did this to this young man. 15 years old, body was burned in a garbage can in some alley on the west side of Chicago. And it's just, you know, it's very sad that this type of stuff still continues to happen where we are and where we do things. So we definitely want to keep praying for that family. And hopefully somebody will turn that person in. Everybody, you know what, as big as Chicago is, from one thing I've learned in the last few years is that everybody knows everybody, or everybody knows somebody that knows somebody else. And this guy, whoever did this, needs to be turned in. They really do. So it's really unfortunate that that's where we are right now. But I'm hoping and praying that's the case, and that we get somebody to and that this person is brought to justice real soon. I'm really hoping and praying that that's the case. With that. Also, with that said, man, my condolences go out to the family of a friend of the show and a mentor of mine, Pastor Keith Gordon. Pastor Keith Gordon, it's crazy because a week ago this time I was talking about another friend of the show and a mentor of mine, Pastor Ricky Guyton, who is the moderator of the Northwood River District. He lost his father a week ago. And I just attended that funeral on Saturday, and then I get the news yesterday that one of the vice moderators of the district, his father passed away on yesterday. Pastor Keith Gordon lost his father on yesterday, so definitely want to send our condolences out to them. Man, it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, and I get the whole thing about you know, there's a time to die and all that stuff, but you know, you never want to deal with that. But again, he lost his father on yesterday. I believe it was a battle. Let me make sure I confirm this. I believe it was a cancer situation. But we definitely want to keep him and his family in our prayers. So Keith, man, praying for you, man. Love you too, you know, because you are a big brother and a mentor to me And I'll always appreciate you for your kind words and your advice weekly. I look forward to our weekly conversations because he makes it a point to call me at least once a week just to check on me, to see how I'm doing, and to, you know, to check on me and to check me. Let me put it that way. Those guys make it a point to call on me, to check on me, and to check me. So, you know, our prayers go out to you and Trish and Ethan and the rest of the family over there. So, we definitely want to keep your family in our prayers. And whatever you need, man, you know, but like I told you yesterday, whatever you need, just give me a call, and we'll be there. We'll be there however we can. So definitely our prayers go out to you. So, man, look. That's about it for all the news, right? Ain't nothing else going on, right? Ain't nothing else going on. Let me think, right? Did I miss anything? Oh, there was one thing. I know my producer is out. She's on the line. She's listening, but she's running around as well. So, you know, we used to do this food of the day thing here on the show. We used to do this food of the day thing, and we're going to bring it back. She just, you know, but today is National Pumpkin Pie Day. Now, I don't mean no harm. But pumpkin pie. Do black people, can y'all answer a question for me? Are any of the people watching or listening to this show right now, do any of y'all eat pumpkin pie? The people in the chat room on Ustream. Let me make sure I got the chat room open, because you know what? I'm going to be talking about y'all, and I ain't even got the chat room open. The people on... Okay, now the chat room's open. I'm sorry, y'all. The chat room's open. The people on Ustream and the people on Facebook Live, do y'all eat pumpkin pie? Seriously, do anybody eat pumpkin pie? Anybody? I just want to know. Because it ain't. I've never had it, but I've tasted pumpkin something before, and it just don't seem appealing at all. Seriously. Do anybody eat pumpkin? I got one person said, no, sir. Exactly. Lewis. Yeah. Lewis, come on now. Don't nobody eat bean pie. See, now, Lewis, we're going to have a talk. Bean pie, my brother. I'm just saying, who eats? Do any of my brothers and sisters, any of y'all? Okay, let me ask the people on the phone. Y'all listening in on, man, who's Lord, y'all in here? The people on the phone, do anybody eat pumpkin pie? I've tried pumpkin pie. You tried it. Okay, Gabrielle, you tried. Miss Morris in the house. Y'all give a congratulations to the newlywed. She's still a newlywed. Miss Gabrielle Morris. She's in the chat room. Bless her heart. Bless her heart for the. Let me get my newlyweds a little something, something. Let me get them just a little bit of something. Yeah. You know, yeah, just a little something. But y'all go ahead on. Let's see. She says she tried pumpkin pie. Let's see. Yolanda says sweet potato pie, please and thank you. Mm-hmm. Sweet potato pie. Kim Tony, the evangelist, say it's disgusting. She says it's disgusting. And then Gabrielle, you said it wasn't bad. You know what? Had you told me you said it ain't bad, I'm glad you're telling me it's a day. I wouldn't have showed up at the wedding. I wish. I'm so glad you didn't serve none at the wedding, because it would have been a problem. That's it. What is the pumpkin? Seriously, who eats? I'm not being funny, and I hope you know. I know I got my Anglo-Saxon and European listeners. Bless y'all. I appreciate y'all so much. But if any of y'all are listening right now and you want to keep it in the background, email me. Email the show. TakingLimitsOff@Comcast.net. Maybe I missed it. Or call in, area code 347-934-0546, area code 347-934-0546. If you eat pumpkin, I mean, seriously, where my buddy at? Because she'll try. She ate almost. Is Sharissa anywhere around? Because Sharissa knows food like I, you know, look, when my producer ain't around, I got to go to my second food person. Sharissa, do you eat pumpkin pie? I'm just curious, because I just can't. It looked like sweet potato pie. Now, you might try to fool me. Okay, so you on the line. Let me see here. Is that you? Let me see. Now, this ain't you. Don't fool me now, because let me make sure what's going on. Let me turn the volume up so I can hear your conversation Where we at? There we go. Hello, is that you?
It is me.
So you had pumpkin pie?
I have had pumpkin pie. And it is not like sweet potato pie. It's okay. But I would not eat it on purpose. No, I wouldn't eat it on purpose. No.
You would not eat it on purpose. Amen.
No.
Not
on purpose.
I mean, I'm just saying, I can't, and then get your auntie on Facebook Live talking about pumpkin seeds. Ain't nobody saying about no pumpkin seeds.
Pumpkin.
Ain't no,
pumpkin.
Right, get your auntie.
No,
we
it,
gonna
it's
pray
too
for
heavy. Yeah, it's too heavy with the cinnamon and it lacks the sweetness of sweet potato pie.
Oh. Okay, it lacks the sweetness of sweet potato pie. We just learned something, y'all, because I ain't, okay, well, I'm glad you can tell me, because I just take your word for it, because I ain't going to eat it. Yeah.
No, not on purpose. Uh-uh. Okay.
Okay, all right. How you doing today?
I'm good. Leaving work, so I'm good.
Okay, all right, well, that's always a good thing. That's good. I just got off work. I just got off work, too.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Reese. Talk to you later.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, it's ain't nobody trying to eat. And then Patricia Hicks talking about some pumpkin seeds. Who eats pumpkin seeds? I don't even eat. Well, we ain't gonna get on the whole pumpkin seed, sunflower seed, because I just can't. I don't. You know, that's a whole nother show. I'm gonna leave that alone. But yeah, y'all in this Thanksgiving coming up. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. It says it probably tastes like that patty pie that they were trying to push on everybody. Really? Now, I ain't even going to the patty pie. Now y'all done had that pie. Y'all, first of all, y'all was slow for buying patty pie. I told y'all where to get y'all pies. I told y'all, you want a sweet potato pie, y'all get y'all a WC sweet potato pie. I got an inside track on the WC sweet potato pie. Y'all could just look here, man. Look, we take orders. We take online orders. We take TTLO orders. I'm just trying to help y'all out. I just happen to know the manufacturer of the WC sweet potato pie. You don't need no patty pie. Because, see, patty pie is, you know, it's they do it. They made that stuff in the factory somewhere. Ain't no love in it. You know what I'm saying? No. Now, Evangelist Tony said, I'd rather eat broccoli pie than pumpkin pie. She said she'd rather eat broccoli pie than. You taking it? You done went too far now, because I don't even want no broccoli, period, unless it's in a stir fry. But I just thought I'd share that with y'all. It is the national day, though. Today is National Pumpkin Pie Day. So if you are of that persuasion and you want to go get you some pumpkin pie, I'm assuming you can get. Can you get? Do Baker Square sell? Is Baker Square still open? First of all, are they still open? I guess you can probably go to Baker Square and get you some pumpkin pie today, right? Or get you one of them pumpkin, who they got them pumpkin donuts? Is that Dunkin' Donuts? Got them nasty pumpkin something donuts or whatever? And no offense to Dunkin' Donuts, because if y'all want to be a sponsor, you know, we would love to have a Dunkin' Donut. I sit here with a cup of Dunkin' Donut coffee right now if y'all choose to be a sponsor. I ain't knocking the Dunkin' Donuts, but that pumpkin spice, is it called? Oh, this pumpkin spice latte mess. That's what it is. That pumpkin spice latte, whatever that is. Y'all who drink that mess, I don't even understand. Don't even get me started. Don't get me started. I'm gonna leave it alone. I ain't going to, you know, pumpkin spice. That's just nasty. Anyway, look here, y'all. There is a concert coming up, right? There's a concert coming up, and I'm going to put this out here. I believe he's going to be on the show prior to the concert. But there is a concert coming up. I want to give it a little promo. Let me find it before I tab the whole date and everything. There's a concert coming up, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm only pushing this because my baby girl is in the concert. Otherwise, you know, I probably wouldn't even – no, let me stop playing. Anyway, Adrian B. King. Y'all remember him? He was sitting here on the show. Adrian B. King, you know, dark-skinned brother, was sitting over here next to me on the show. He's having a concert Sunday, October the 23rd. Let me give you the details. Sunday, October 23rd, Sunday Night Live is what it's called. It's the CD release celebration of Adrian B. King and Reverence. Adrian B. King and Reverence. Now, see, I would pub this concert a little bit more if it said Sunday Night Live CD release celebration, Adrian B. King featuring Christina Rice, Martin, and Reverence. And now, if it said that, I would pub it all day. But since it just said Adrian B. King and Reverence, I'm just going to give it one little shout out real quick. Y'all know I ain't no good. Y'all pray for the preacher. But anyway, he's having his CD release celebration. It's at Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, 10, 10540 South Halsted Street, Chicago, Illinois. The tickets are $20 for concert admission, and you get the concert that gets you concert admission, and they get you a CD. And then they're $30 tickets that gets you concert admission, a CD, and a Adrian B. King and Reverence T-shirt. So I believe there are only a few, let me get this right now, there are only a few gold tickets left. Yeah, tomorrow is the last day you can secure your gold tickets. That's for the admission, CD, and T-shirt. You can go to, what is that, squareup.com. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this out here because I ain't trying to read all this. It's too much information. I'm going to put this up here on the Facebook Live, whatchamacallit, what is the thing? Yeah. I'm going to put this in the chat room for y'all on Facebook Live. Y'all can get your ticket. What? How am I wrong? Look, I'm just trying to help the people. Look, the man needs some promotion. I'm trying to help the people out. You know, I'm all about helping the people. There it is. You can get your tickets right there at that site right there. You can go right there, or you can just call. Or if you know what, email the show here, and I call, you know, get a hold of Christina, and we can get y'all some tickets. But they still got some tickets. So y'all need to come on and get them tickets. Again, that is for Sunday. October the 23rd. So you can make it a full day. Watch this. So on Sunday, October 23rd, you can come here first to Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, right, for your morning service. I'll be preaching that Sunday. See how I just threw all that in at the same time? You can come here on Sunday and get you an amazing word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, don't let me down. I just said amazing. Don't let me down, Lord. Get you an amazing word from the Lord at 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning. Then go home, eat your dinner and all that. Then that evening, watch this now, turn around and then go get you some good old gospel music, some praise and worship music over on the south side, roughly about what time do this thing start? I'm looking at this thing. What time do this thing start? Now, I'm looking at the 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Concert starts promptly at 7 p.m. So, again, October 23rd, you can make it a full day with your boy. Make it a full day with your boy. Come on over here Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, get you a word from the Lord, right? And then go get you some dinner, whatever, you know, and then you go out to 10540. That's what it is. 10540 South Halsted Street, Chicago, Illinois, Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. That's where the concert will be. So make it a full day. Come hang with your boy, and y'all can hang out with me, man. Make it a good time. I promise you, you're going to laugh the whole time. Well, you won't laugh Sunday morning. You might just, you know, I don't. But you're going to have a good time. Anyway, just come hang out with your boy. And if you show up on Sunday morning, watch this. I'm going to take it a step further. See, I'm going to sell this thing. See, that's why I do what I do. I'm going to sell. You come over to the church on Sunday. You know what? We'll give you, you can come up here, take a little tour of the fabulous studio that we have up here. You can come take a tour, sit in the seat. Just don't push no button. But you can come over here, sit in the seat, and play in the chairs and all that good stuff. And then, yeah, you can do all that. But anyway, that's what it is. So, again, Sunday, October 23rd, Sunday Night Live, the CD release celebration of Adrian B. King and Reverence. See that? Now, that's what you call free publicity, because he'd have to pay for that on somebody else's show. I will be sending him a bill, though. But anyway, Adrian B. King and Reverence, Sunday, October 23rd, 7 p.m., Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. That's where you'll have that. Look, y'all, I'm going to take a break. So then when we come back, I'm going to jump right into this conversation. Did I miss anything? No, I did. We're going to jump right into today's conversation. And again, it's going to be a good one, y'all. It's really going to be good. Today's conversation, real simple and to the point. Five ways. Oh, my God. Five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. 5 qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. That's going to be a good conversation. I hope you stick around and stay ready for that. I'm going to give y'all a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit of what you're going to get, right? I'm going to give you a little bit of what you're going to get. I'm going to give you some of this Adrian B. King right now. I'm going to give you a little sample of what you're going to get as soon as I push the right button, as long as I figure out what I'm doing. You would think I would know what I was doing. I've been doing this long enough. There it is right there. A little bit is so amazing off the new CD release, Adrian B. King in reference. We'll be right back, y'all. TT, hello.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
Once again, that concert is October the 23rd at 7 p.m. at Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. We might have him in studio one day next week, maybe Wednesday or Friday show. I think Tanya's going to figure that out. They're going to work that out. But Wednesday or Friday show next week, we'll have him in. Get Steven Stout now. If I had it my way, I'd have a whole band up here in the studio. I'd get a whole band right up in here, and we give y'all a little sample right here live on the ether waves. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be good. I think it would be I think it'll be a really good show. And I'm excited about that, excited for them. And go check it out, man, because one of my babies is a part of Reverence. One of my babies, my youngest gal, as they say. My youngest gal is in that group, Reverence, and you check it out. But anyway, y'all, we got this great article. Excuse me. We got this great article, right? It's called Five Qualities to Seek in the Heart of a Leader. Five Qualities to Seek. I just like saying that word like that. Seek. In the Heart of a Leader. Again, if you just joined us in the chat room, please do me a favor, hit the share button. If you're on your PC, just hit that share button right there on the page that you're on. If you're on your Android device, just swipe up and you can hit the share button. If you're on a iPhone device, swipe left, I believe, or right, one of the two, and hit the share button, please. Please go ahead and share the broadcast. Those of you on Ustream, if you're watching via Ustream, you can hit the share button, too. There's a little button over there. That's if you have social media. Now, if you don't have social media, I guess you can't share. But then you know what? Call your mom and them or email the link to all your peoples in your address book. Go ahead and do that, too. You can do that. They'll be all right. Tell them I told them. Tell them I said it was okay. Just tell them I said it was okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. All right. So again, today's conversation, five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. It is going to be a good conversation. And again, it's on churchleaders.com. You don't want, so you know, it's one of my favorite sites, churchleader.com. And it's a short article, but it's straight and to the point. But, a lot of times people are looking for when you're looking for leadership, or even if you have a current leader and you just want to examine that. Let's see if your current leader or your future leader falls into these categories. Let me drop this real quick for the people watching on Ustream. Let me make sure y'all got this available to y'all. There is the article right there for you. Bless the Lord. All right. And then let me give it to y'all real quick over here on Ustream, just in case you don't have it. Should be able to give it to y'all. There you go. Again. All right. So look here. This is what the writer says. The writer is Ron Edmondson, great writer, great blogger for churchleaders.com and some other blog sites. But this is what he says. This is what he says. In this post, he says, I'd love to consider the heart of a leader. He says, someone asked me recently what I primarily look for in the hiring of staff, in the hiring of a staff position. He said, and he says this, I said without reservation, first and foremost, I look for the heart. I want a heart with which honors Christ more than self, one which desires to grow and learn, one which is willing to sacrifice personal privilege for benevolent purposes of others. Wow. One in which is willing to sacrifice personal privilege for benevolent purpose of others. The heart of a leader is more important than any other characteristic. That's good. The heart of a leader is more important than any other characteristic. Consider, for example, he says, the life of a Bible character by the name of Joseph. Joseph's story runs from Genesis 37, chapter 37 of Genesis, all the way through chapter 50. It's an amazing story of God's sovereignty and grace. Joseph is a standard bearer for a character in the Old Testament. Some say he's in many ways an Old Testament example of Christ. Not sinless, as Christ was, but certainly a God-fearing man. Wow. He says, the part of Joseph's story I want to point out has to do with what identified him with the heart of a leader. He says, I submit his heart is representative of all of the kind of heart all leaders should seek to have. Might not have it all the way, but should be at least seeking to have. So he says this, here are five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. So even before we get to that, this is something that I want to push this out there for you. Because people say, well, how do you see the heart of a person? You see the heart of a person. And when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the physical one. Okay, I mean, let's not be funny. Let's not be silly. We're not talking about the physical heart of a person. But we're talking about how that person's actions toward other people. Is that person caring? Is that person concerned about it? Does he or she show a natural concern for his or her fellow Christian or his or her fellow man? Do they show a natural caring for other people? Do you see them stretch themselves out when it comes to other people, or are they all about self? Because you have some leaders who are all about legacy. Mm-hmm. You have some leaders who are all about legacy. And sometimes you can be so concerned about legacy that you forget about present, meaning that you're more concerned about the mark you're going to leave than actually helping people out right now. There are some leaders who are more concerned with building a brand than it is with building up people. So you want your name on everything. You want your name on you want to be remembered for your name and all this other stuff. But see, you have to be like what God told Abraham. God says, I will make your name great. That's what he told Abraham. He said, I will make your name great, not you. Don't promote yourself. Just follow my will. Follow my instruction. I will make your name great. Come on, somebody. Don't miss that. So you don't have to boost your own self up. You don't have to. Your name ain't got to be on everything. You know. You have churches now. You got folks' name on every wall in the church. You got folks' name on every room in the church. Every time they're doing something, well, you know, you got to go to this room with that person's name on it, and this room with that person's name on it. No. The only place I'm concerned. Can I say this, and then I'm gonna move on to the article. The only place I'm concerned about my name being is in the book of life at the end of the road. The only place I want to make sure my name is in the right book. I want them to open up the book, and I don't care how many you got to go through. I know it's a lot of Dana Kings out there. But when you get to my name, I just want to make sure it's me. That's the only place I'm concerned about my name being. Anywhere else, it's you know, if you put it up, you put it up. If you don't, you don't. I really don't care. That's just me being honest, because it ain't about that. You know, it's just like I told y'all before. You know, in the weeks to come, the name of the show is changing. You know, we rebranding the show. We taking off the Dana and Devon. That's just gonna, that ain't necessary. It's just taking the limits off radio. That's it. So you know, it ain't about that. It's about what you're doing. It's about the work. It's about the work. God will promote you. He'll blow your name up. You just blow his name up first. Come on, somebody. You lift up his name first. Come on, all right, let's get to the article, because I felt myself about to go. So he says this. He says, here are five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. Number one, and I'm assuming they're not in any particular order, so I'm just calling it number one. But number one on the list is imagination. Number one is imagination. He says this. He says, where is that? He says, Joseph was a dreamer. It caused him some problems, but he was able to see what others couldn't see. He saw the big picture. Of course, this came from God, but I believe God has equipped all of us with the ability to dream. It may not be prophetic in nature, but we can seek and find the big picture if we are looking for it. Can we pause right there? Can we put a comma right there? One of the things that's necessary in leadership is having an imagination, being able to see beyond what you see in front of you. Ooh, my God, that'll preach right there. Being able to step out and walk out into something that does not look like or does not appear like everybody else sees it. You have to imagine yourself. So think about this. You know the story of Joseph. When Joseph imagined himself lifted up and all of the people, even his family members, kneeling down and bowing down at his feet, when he said those things, it made absolutely no sense based off of his current circumstances. See, think about where Joseph was when he told his people about the dream. They weren't exactly rich at the time. They weren't well off at the time. They were just regular folk, and in some way they weren't even rich. They were just regular hardworking blue collar people. And now all of a sudden you got one of these sons of the blue collar saying, I had a vision, and in my vision I was sitting up here and you all were kneeling and bowing and all this other stuff. And they say, well, dude, you crazy. But see, sometimes you have to dream beyond your circumstance. Now that might touch somebody right there. Sometimes you have to dream beyond your circumstance. You have to look beyond where God has currently placed you. Come on now. You have to look beyond where God has where God has you at right now and look to where he's taking you. Don't look at where you are. Because see, if you look around and you start focusing on your circumstances, you'll never see what God has for you. Sometimes you got to step out. Sometimes you got to get your feet. Oh my God, hold on. What time is it? 12:59. Y'all keep mark on this. I think I just got my sermon for next week. Hold on. Sometimes you got to just walk into your destiny. Sometimes you got to just step into your miracle. Whee! Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me move on. Number two. He says, number two, the next thing you have to have, the quality that a leader should have is, or the heart of a leader, is integrity. Integrity. Yeah. Let me read some of these comments y'all said. That's so true about the leader's heart. What's up, twin? That's Angela Johnson. What's going on? Lewis says you can by their actions. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The next one is integrity. It's integrity. The Bible says this. When tempted by Potiphar's wife and when an opportunity for revenge against his brother presented itself, Joseph resisted temptation. The leader's heart must continually seek what is right and good. Uh-huh. It says people are watching, and even the perception of evil can ruin a good leader. The heart of a leader must be above reproach. Oh, my God. Can we talk about this? This is why, and again, here's a word that has been beaten to my head for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now. Image. This is what the writer just said. Even the perception of evil can ruin a good leader. So watch this. If people perceive you in a certain light, you need to make sure that that's corrected. You need to change the optics of what people see. If people see you as reclusive and not caring and uninvolved and unattached, then maybe you need to get more involved and get reattached. People need to see you working. People need to see you in action, because you can do a whole lot of lip service. Ah, that's a good comment. That's a good comment, Evangelist Tony. She says, good leaders act and don't procrastinate. My God. Good leaders act and don't procrastinate. That's a good word. But again, it's one of those things where we need to recognize that sometimes, even if there is no evil, if there is a perceived evil, if there is a perceived wrongdoing, it needs to be addressed and explained. You know, it says the heart of a good leader must be above reproach. So you are going to be held to a higher standard. I know we like to say pastors and preachers, they all men at the end of the day. Yes, we are all men in the day, but you're still held to a higher standard. When you're called to a higher calling, come on somebody, stay with me. When you're called to a higher calling, you are called to a higher standard. There is more expected of you. My. As a song, it's a kind of glory that sings a song, yes. And there's this verse, she said, there is more that is required of thee. Mm-hmm. So when you say yes to this calling, when you say yes to God's calling on your life, there is more. Yeah, look at somebody and say more. There is more that is required of thee. There is more. So you got to step out. You got to step out on faith. You got to step out and give more of yourself. If you were giving this amount of yourself before you accepted your calling, that's one thing. But once God calls you to a certain area, now you got to do more than just talk about it. Another comment says intentions. Purpose. Yeah. Your intentions are absolutely called to question. And your purpose. You now have to have some purpose behind it. You just can't be doing things all willy-nilly. Things need to be done with a purpose. They need to be done with a purpose. We got to stop this whole throw stuff up against the wall and whatever sticks we keep type of ministry. Because see, a lot of ministries are running that way. You know, we're gonna throw some stuff up against the wall, and whatever sticks, we keep. Let's keep going. Number three, investment. Keyword, investment. The writer says this again. We're talking about five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. Number three, investment. The writer says this. Joseph helped the men in prison. He helped the Pharaoh, and he even helped his brothers who had hurt him the most. Joseph obviously believed the principle that helping others helps yourself. The heart of a leader must be willing to sacrifice his or her own agenda for the agenda of others. Wow. The heart of a leader must be willing to sacrifice his or her own agenda for the agenda of others. You got to be willing to put aside self, because like I said before, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. So you have to set aside your own stuff. And then if you focus on making sure that God's word is being spread and that God is being glorified, he will then in turn lift you up. I said this before. You don't have to pump your own name if you're pumping the name of Jesus. You don't have to pump your, you don't have to toot your own horn. Joseph never tooted his own horn. Joseph just worked. Look at somebody and say worked. He never tooted his own horn. He just worked. He just did the work. He didn't care whether or not his name got called. He didn't seek to do things. He invested in other people. Can I ask you this question, those of you listening, those of you watching, how many people have you invested in? And investment doesn't always mean money. It means some time. It means some effort. It means some talent. How many people have you actually invested in? Have you poured into? And then you poured into them in a way where it was meaningful. Because, see, anybody can write somebody a check. Don't get me started. Anybody can write a check. But see, it's one thing to write a check. It's another thing for me to write a check and then give you, and then spend some time with you and not only give you some money, but show you how to then in turn make some. How many people have we actually poured into and spent some time with? It's so much more than money. You know, especially with our young people. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's hard, and I've done it too. I've criticized how crazy and irresponsible some of our young people are today. But the question is anybody pouring into them? Are we pouring into these young men and women who are doing what they're doing, or are we just allowing them just to do whatever and then complaining about it on the other end? How many of them are we actively pouring into? So I'll ask this question again. How many people are you pouring into outside of your family members? Because you're obligated in some sense. You're obligated in some sense to pour into your family members. But then I'll ask you this question. How many people outside of your family have you poured into? And it's not that I want you to brag about it or you know, you need to be rewarded for it or put your hand up. But I'm just saying, how many people have you poured into? How many people have you stretched yourself out for outside of your family members? How many times have you gone out of your way? How many times have you, you know, you just taken some time? You spent some time on a phone call, or you just spent some time sitting and talking, or you just spent some time listening, being a shoulder to cry on, or just being someone that they could talk to, just being a listening ear. How much time have you spent pouring in to somebody else, investing? There's a phrase in gambling, and I know sometimes I use some weird illustrations and analogies, but like there's a strange thing. It's called, they say, you can't win if you don't play. Or they say, you can't win if you don't have any skin in the game. Meaning you got to put some of yourself on the line in order to make this thing better. You got to give of yourself in order to make this thing better. It's like in the community. You can sit back and complain about the community all day long. You can watch the news every night and see this one dying and that one dying and this one getting shot and that one getting shot. But then what actual efforts have you put into investing in that same community? Or do you just watch the news at 10 o'clock and shake your head? Are you just a head shaker, or are you actually out doing something? Investment. That's good when you're seeking qualities of the heart of a leader. That's good. Let's keep going. Number four. Again, we're talking about five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. Five qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. Number four. So the first one was imagination. The second one was integrity. That was investment. Number four. Here's that word, good word, intentionality. Intentionality. Good leaders with a good heart for people are intentional about what they do. They're intentional about what they do. Man, that's true. That's the true heart of a leader. They're intentional about what they do. This is what the writer says. Joseph was diligent during the famine, during the days of prison, even when he had the opportunity to get even with his brothers but didn't. Joseph was confident God had a plan for his life, so he refused to be distracted by things of lesser value. Ah, my God. He said, this is what he says, Joseph refused to be distracted by things of lesser value. Can we talk about it? That means Joseph was intentional about what he was doing, meaning he kept his eye on the prize. He kept his eye on the finished product. He was intentional. So, see, it's easy to get distracted. Naysayers can distract you. Oh, my God. Can I talk about naysayers? See, naysayers will say, that ain't going to work. Naysayers will be like, you're wasting your time. Naysayers will be like, you know what? You might as well just stop. It's a dead issue. Or you get the ones who say, you know, those status quo people will be like, man, look, you're wasting your time. That's just how that is. That's just how it's going to be. So stop doing that and focus your energy somewhere else. But see, intentional people will say, look, God called me to this thing. People say, God called me to this thing, so I'm going to stay focused on this. Yes, I hear you over here running your mouth. Yes, I hear you over here running your mouth. But God called me to go that way. So that means I need to keep walking forward. I can't look back. I need to keep there. I'm telling y'all, that's going to be the sermon for Sunday. Keep stepping forward. My God. You need to keep walking forward. See, when you're intentional, you purposefully go in a direction when you're intentional. When you're intentional, you purposely move forward in a direction. When you're walking with a purpose, you don't get distracted when there's a purpose. You know, you just use the gifts that God gave you to keep moving forward, to keep pressing forward, to be like Paul says, I press toward the higher calling. I press toward the mark of the high calling. That's what Paul said. Paul said, yeah, I'm distracted. There's some stuff coming. And yes, I got this limp. Yes, I got this brute. Yes, I got this infirmity in me. Yes, I got this thing I got to carry. But Paul said, I press forward. That's what he said. Come on. So you have to be, you have to be intentional. See, intentional means that I did this on purpose, meaning I took the time to plan this thing out. I sat there and I did all the math. I took all the measurements. I counted up the cost. My God, I understand what it's going to cost me. I understand that it's going to hurt a little bit during the process. My God, I understand I'm going to lose some people along the way. I understand that everybody that start off with me ain't going to be with me at the end. I understand that it's going to cost me something, but I'm intentional about it. So that means because I'm walking with a purpose, I ain't going to stop. My. Yes, I think we need some folk to be a little bit more intentional. A good leader is intentional. See, now a mediocre leader, my God, a mediocre leader says, hey, I got an idea. Or you get, hey, I had an idea. And I need you to do this, this, and this. But then there's no follow through. A status quo leader says, here is this and that. But then there's no follow through. But see, a good leader says, hey, here is the plan. Step 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then a good leader not only puts out the plan, a good leader gets in line. A good leader marches you to the direction. A good leader turns around and makes sure didn't nobody fall off along the way. A good leader says, hey, you holding up the line back here. I need you to come on this way with me. A good leader say, hey, do you have a problem? Is there something I can help you with? Can I give you a hand? Because look, this is the direction we're going, and I don't want to lose you, so I need to push you a little bit. A good leader pushes his people. Not push them away, but push them forward. Come on, somebody. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You need to have some kind of purpose. You see, a lot of y'all go to work every day. Ooh, can I talk about it? I knew I was going to get stuck right here. A lot of y'all go to work every day, but you're not going to work with a purpose. You're just going to work for a check. But see, I need you, think about it this way. See, if you start going to work with a purpose in mind, you know what? See, I'm working here, watch this, to get this, to do this, and to do that. And then I don't plan on being here for so long. I don't plan on doing this for so long. But see, this is while I'm here, I'm gonna do it with a purpose. I'm gonna do it with a goal in mind. And then when I reach said goal, come on somebody, when I reach said goal, then I'm gonna move to the next level. But I gotta be intentional about it. I can't be afraid. I can't put my toe in the water. No, no, no. I got to put the whole foot in. Hey, my God. I got to put. Ain't that a scripture? Hey. Ain't that a scripture? Wasn't that Joshua with the second time they tried to cross over the Jordan? Hey, my God. That was. Come on, somebody. I just got my sermon for the 23rd. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. I promise you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I told y'all. Y'all need to show up on the 23rd Sunday. Come on, come on. Anyway, I promise you, I just got it right now. Yeah, hallelujah. Look here. You got to be walking with a purpose. See, you can't be walking. See, let me tell you about mediocre folk, and then I'm going to move on because I know I've been on this too long. Let me tell you, intentional, but it's intentional. Let me tell you about mediocre folk. See, mediocre folk walk forward, but they keep looking back to see who watching. They keep looking back to see if they left anything, or looking back to see if everybody's still happy, or looking back to see if everybody's okay, if everybody's satisfied. No. When you're walking with a purpose, you say, look here. This is the path we taking, and I need y'all to stay on the path. Now, as long as you stay on the path, we good. But I'm going forward. But now, if y'all decide to start going off the path, look here, that's on you. We going this way, and anybody who believe in God and know that, and you believe God, then you believe in the God in me, then you gonna follow me this way. And 9 times out of 10, intentional leaders. Leaders with a heart of intentionality rarely get challenged. They rarely get challenged because people see the direction that you're trying to go, and they see the purpose you're walking with, and they see little to no doubt in your actions. See, when you don't see any doubt in your actions, it's that killer. It's that whole killer instinct thing. You know, that's the thing that separated Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant from everybody else. They call that assassin's type mentality. When you see that in somebody, when you see that, you know, I don't, that whole what was that, the movie Rocky, that eye of the tiger, when you see, hey, this dude on a mission, that sister on a mission, and look, we need not get in his or her way. So guess what? I'm afraid to stand in his way, so I'm gonna just get in line, and I'm gonna get on this train, and we just gonna ride this thing. You see, a leader like that, you'll follow. You'll follow a leader like that with no problem because you see they walking with a purpose. You see they trying to take you somewhere with a purpose. My God, yes, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on in here. All right, let's keep going. This is good. We're almost done. Again, we're talking about, if you just joined us, we're talking about 5 qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. 5 qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. If you just joined us on Facebook Live, the article is posted in the comments. You can see them down there. You can click the article and follow along. If you just joined us on the air, on Blog Talk Radio, or on any of the other mediums, again, the topic for today is 5 qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. 5 qualities to seek in the heart of a leader. Let's keep going. Last one. First one again. The first one was imagination. The second one was integrity. The third one was investment. The fourth one was intentionality. And the last one, watch this. Innovation. It says, Joseph devised an ingenious plan to save the nations from desolation. Using godly wisdom, Joseph conserved the resources he had to accommodate the days of plenty and the days of few. Yeah. Meaning you gotta be innovative. You gotta be able to say, hey, you know what? I understand what's about to happen, but I believe in God, and God and the wisdom of God gives me a plan to do something in the meantime. So you gotta have enough skill. You have to have enough talent and enough belief to be innovative. You got to be able to ad lib. You need to be able to shift and adjust quickly. Innovate. That's the word. That's the word. Innovation. It's just that thing where you have to be willing to make changes or alterations or calls. A metamorphosis of a thing. Ah, my goodness. It's one of those things where you have to be willing to make changes. What Joseph did was he gave them a plan. He gave them a plan that allowed them to be able to survive what was coming. See, innovation, or the word innovate, that's where innovation comes from, the word innovate. Innovation is something, is being able to make changes in something that's already established. Oh, don't miss that. I just helped somebody. Innovation is the ability to make changes in something that's already established. Watch this. Or by introducing new methods or ideas to promote or exalt a current product. Come on. It's to introduce something new to something. So it's taking something we already have, and then being able to change that, change the presentation. That's it. That's the word. Come on, Holy Ghost. Thank you. So all you're doing is, it's like with the Bible. It's like with the Bible. The way we present church now shouldn't be the same way we presented church 30 years ago. It shouldn't be the way we presented church 20 years ago. There needs to be some innovation, being able to change something that's already established, making simple changes in some things already established. That's what good leaders do. Good leaders have a heart for innovation. Because, see, mediocre leaders, can I talk about it? Status quo leaders. Average leaders want to keep things just like they are. Average leaders want to just keep the same program. Average leaders want to keep the same calendar. Now, here is the problem. There's nothing wrong with keeping the same programs if they're successful. But watch this. If you got a bunch of dead programs, instead of you getting rid of the dead ones, you want to bring some new ones. But now, here's the problem with that. We still doing the dead program. Y'all work with the preacher. You want to still do the dead program, but then at the same time you're doing all these dead programs. Here you come with some with the new programs, but because we're tired from working all this dead, non-functioning stuff, I got no energy for your new program. But see, good leaders recognize when stuff ain't working. Good leaders recognize when stuff ain't working, and they make adjustments. They make adjustments. They kill off the dead weight, and then if there's room for it, they bring in something new. My. That's good stuff, y'all. That's good stuff. Bless the Lord. Hey, how y'all doing? Who's that just came in the room? How you doing, Sister Marissa? How you doing? I see you. Bless you. Thank you. What is it saying here? Naysayers are really crabs in the barrel. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Naysayers are crabs in a barrel. And if anybody have ever seen crabs in a barrel, all of them are trying to get out. And in the process of trying to get out, they continually pull the other ones down. And they never actually get out. Instead of working together, because if crabs had any kind of brain, you'd have them crawl on top of each other. One of them hook his or her, I don't know, are crabs male and female? But one of them hook his or her claw to the top of the barrel. Watch this. And then the rest crawl up, making a lap. And then we all get out. And then we do the same thing, and then we pull the last one out, if we were cooperating. But see, crabs ain't got no sense. So what crabs do, they just keep pulling each other back. Come on now. Don't miss it. And we do that as naysayers. Oh my God. As naysayers, I saw this once, and I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna tell you this quick story. I saw this once. You know, I'm a big fan of the Discovery Channel because I like watching stuff that I've never seen happen before. And it was either Discovery Channel or it was one of them National Geographic, one of them things. But they were talking about It was either mosquitoes or flies. And what they did was they caught a bunch of, it was either one of these insects, flying insects, and they caught them and put them in a big jar. And then they put a piece of saran wrap. Watch this. Don't miss this, y'all. Don't miss this. This is good. They put a piece of saran wrap over the top of the jar. So what happened was it looked like you could go up. So, of course, the insects flew up and kept hitting the top of the jar. They kept hitting the saran wrap. After about 10 minutes or so, they stopped. And they just started either landing at the bottom or they just flew around in circles, never again coming up to the top of the saran wrap. About 10 minutes later, the person comes in and takes the saran wrap off the jar. You know what happened? Not one tried to get out because they believed they were still stuck. They believed this is as high as we can go, so I'm not going to keep bumping my head up against whatever that is up there. So even though I can see it, I believe now because of the times I've went and failed that I can no longer get out. So they just continue to fly in circles, not recognizing that there was an exit. They just gave up. Ah, my God. See, so what you're talking about, preacher, we have to stop putting these fake ceilings on our ministries. We have to stop putting these fake ceilings on our churches. We have to stop putting these fake boundaries. These fake boundaries saying we can't go no further. This is the best we can do. This is all we can do. No. The Bible says, Jesus said, greater things. come on. My God. Let me finish up. This is how the writer closed it out. This is what he says. He says, the hope of this post is you will reflect on your own leadership. Consider your own heart as a leader. What could you learn from the heart of Joseph? Amen. Look here, y'all. That's good stuff, man. That blessed me. Look here, y'all. It's been absolutely wonderful. I have enjoyed today's show, man. It was good. Bless y'all for listening. I know some of y'all just got into the room. You can go back and check it and watch the rest of the show. You can go back and hit the replay button as soon as the show is over. And do me a favor, even if you watch it later, share it with your friends. Hit the share button. I appreciate it. Don't hog the information for yourself. Share the brother. It's called discipleship. Once you've been discipled, you're supposed to go and disciple somebody else. So hit that share button, and that'll do that. Let's pray, y'all. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now, God, just for who you are. God, we thank you just for being the amazing and wonderful and outstanding and superfluous God that you are. God, we just love you. We extol you. We lift your name right now. God, we thank you for everything and every person who's available to listen to this show. God, we thank you for every listener on the phone lines. God, we thank you for every watcher on Ustream right now. God, we thank you for every watcher on Facebook Live. God, we just thank you for those who are listening and those who are able to call in. God, we thank you for every person and the heart of the people. God, we bless leaders right now, God. We bless you for leadership right now, God. We thank you for what you've done for those leaders, God. We ask that you would continue to strengthen the leaders of our churches right now, God. We ask that you would continue to strengthen them and the families that have to suffer sometimes, God, because of their intentionality, God. God, we thank you right now for every leader that's walking in purpose right now, God. We thank you for every leader that's walking with a heart of integrity right now, God. We thank you for every leader that's walking with intentionality right now, God. We thank you for every leader who's walking with imagination right now and who's making the investments into people. God, we bless you right now, Jesus. My God. Lord, we just thank you for everything that you've done and just simply for who you are. And if you do nothing else, you've already done enough. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all, look, it's been an amazing show. Y'all have blessed me today, man. Thank y'all so much, man. And I don't say this just to say it. When I say this, I am so sincere. I love y'all, man. I do. I love y'all for listening. I love y'all for watching. I love y'all for sharing. And I love you all for commenting and even your comments, good and the bad, whatever they are. I thank you so much. You don't have to listen. You don't have to watch, but you do. And you're so appreciated. You really are. And I really thank y'all. Y'all bless me just by being a part of this. As somebody told me once, that little old radio show. But I thank y'all so much. I bless you. Look, this has been me, that dude. You know the guy with the polo shirt. Fresh polo, that is. But look, I love y'all. Y'all been good, man. I got to go. And remember this. If you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all know what to do. Hey, it's been TTLO. I'm going to leave y'all with some more of this Adrian B. King. So amazing. Y'all stay blessed, man. We out.
grace is amazing, God.